translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My Lord, You are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by His personal external energy. After the creation of this world of three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, You appear to have entered it, although in fact You have not. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 7.4, the Supreme Personality of Godhead clearly explains, Bhumi apo nalo vayu kammano buddhya evacha ahankara iti yamme bina prakate ashtada. This material world of three modes of material nature, sattva guna, raja guna, and tamaguna, is a composition of earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all of which are energies coming from Krishna. Yet Krishna, being always transcendental, is aloof from this material world. Those who are not in pure knowledge think that Krishna is a product of matter and that His body is material like ours. Abhijananti mammudha. In fact, however, Krishna is always aloof from this material world. In the Vedic literature, we find the creation described in relation to Mahavishnu, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.35, Ekopyaso rachayitam jagadanda kotim yajchakti asti jagadanda chaya yadantaha andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadipudusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. By His partial plenary expansion as Mahavishnu, He enters into material nature. Then He enters every universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and He enters all the elements, including every atom of matter, as Shiradakshay Vishnu. Such manifestations of cosmic creation are innumerable, both in the universes and in their individual atoms. Govinda is partially exhibited as Antaryami, the Supersoul, who enters this material world, and Antarasta, and who is also within the atom. The Brahma Samhita 5.48 further says, Yasyaika nishvasita kalamatavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanta nataha Vishnu mahansa iha yasya kala vishesho govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. This verse describes Mahavishnu as a plenary expansion of Krishna. Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, and when He exhales, millions of brahmandas, or universes, come from the pores of His body. Then when Mahavishnu inhales, all these brahmandas disappear. Thus the millions of brahmandas controlled by the Brahmas and other demigods come and go in this material world through the breathing of Mahavishnu. Foolish persons think that when Krishna appears as the son of Vasudev, he is limited like an ordinary child. But Vasudev was aware that although the Lord had appeared as his son, the Lord had not entered Devaki's womb and then come out. Rather, the Lord was always there. The Supreme Lord is all-pervading, present within and without. Pravishta eva bhavyase. He only seemed to have entered the womb of Devaki and to have now appeared as Vasudev's child. The expression of this knowledge by Vasudev indicates that Vasudev knew how these events took place. Vasudev was certainly a devotee of the Lord in full knowledge, and we must learn from devotees like him. Bhagavad Gita 4.34 therefore recommends, yeah, I thought you must know that verse. That's practically the first verse, one of the first verses that anybody ever learns. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti tye gyanam gyaninas tatvadashinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. A self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Vasudev begot the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he was in full knowledge of how the Supreme Lord appears and disappears. He was therefore Tattvadarshi, a seer of the truth, because he personally saw how the Supreme Absolute Truth appeared as his son. Vasudeva was not in ignorance, thinking that because the Supreme Godhead had appeared as his son, the Lord had become limited. The Lord is unlimitedly existing and all-pervading, inside and outside. Thus there is no question of his appearance or disappearance. Om Gyantimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The verse again. Sa eva sva prakritye dam, shristva gre tri gunatmakam, tad anu tvam hi apravishtaha, pravishta eva bhavyase. My Lord, you are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by his personal external energy. After the creation of this world of three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, you appear to have entered it, although in fact you have not. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthapitaye Swadhi. So, Srila Prabhupada starts the purport by quoting another very well-known verse, 7.4, quoted often by Srila Prabhupada, Bhumi apo nalo vayu, kam mano buddhya eva cha, ahankara iti yame bina prakriti ashtada. So, he uses this verse for explaining about the external energy of the Lord, this material world, made up of the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. Earth, water, bhumiya, earth, apo, water, analo, fire, vayuhu, air, kam, space, ether. It doesn't, earth, water, fire, air, you missed out in the purport actually, the ether. Mano, mind, buddhya, intelligence, and ahankara, the false ego. So all these energies are coming from Krishna, but Krishna being transcendental, he's aloof from this material world, he's aloof from all these energies. But, Prabhupada goes on to say, that those who are not in pure knowledge think that Krishna is a product of matter, and that his body is material like ours. And then he quotes another verse, Avajananti Mammudha, Manushim Tanam Ashritam, so which says that fools deride me when I descend in this human form. So people think that Krishna is just an ordinary person. But of course, Krishna is not an ordinary person. As he says, actually, if we can not be fools, we can actually understand, as he says, janma karma chamedi vyam evam yo chakvadeha. Janma karma chamedi vyam evam yo viditakvadaha. That if we understand that all Krishna's birth and his appearance are transcendental, then we don't have to take birth again. We can go back home, back to the spiritual world. So that's why Srila Prabhupada is... that's why Vasudev, he's just started to speak. He said in the previous verse, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Supersoul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly." So that's what we are striving to do. Try to understand Lord Krishna's position perfectly. Because if we do, we'll go back home, back to the spiritual world. But we also have to understand the external energy. Just like it says in the Isha Upanishad. Let's see if I can find the verse. I don't remember it by heart. It says that we should know knowledge and nescience equally. Those who engage in the culture of nescient activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. Worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. That's not the verse. this is the verse 11 of Sri Yasya Upanishad. Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bayam saha avidyaya mritum tirtva vidyaya mritum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So we have to, the first point that occurred to me in reading this purport is that we have to know both. We have to understand the material nature as well as the spiritual nature. Not just that we're totally fixed on our goal, which is the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, but also because we have to know where we are now. A map is only useful when you know where you are. If you don't know where you are, then it's of very little use. You have to find out where you are now. So we have to find out where we are currently in this material world. What is our position? Are we in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance? We are actually in Krishna's external energy. We're not in his internal energy. So we have to know that before we can actually make the move to get out of that energy. In the purport to the Isha Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada says, "Since the creation of the material world, everyone has been trying to attain a permanent life. But the laws of nature are so cruel that no one has been able to avoid the hand of death. No one wants to die, nor does anyone want to become old or diseased. The law of nature, however, does not allow immunity from old age, disease, or death. Nor has the advancement of material knowledge solved these problems. Material science can discover the nuclear bomb to accelerate the process of death, but it cannot discover anything that can protect man from the cruel hands of old age, disease, and death." So, not to get into, I wouldn't want to offend the scientists amongst us, but Prabhupada is saying that material science is limited. Although it can produce lots of extraordinary phenomena, like the nuclear bomb he mentions here, but it can't do what we really need. It can't achieve the ultimate purpose of life, which is actually to deliver us from this material entanglement that we're currently in. So it's always going to be limited. Of course, science, if it's used for the right purpose can help us to some degree. Just like we're using so many things produced by science right now, we're using electricity, we're using, I'm using computer, we're using this microphone. Everything that's been produced, we can, if it's engaged in Krishna service, then it can be helpful to us. But it still, it won't actually produce the final result that we're looking for, which is actually to get free from these modes of nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. So that was the first point. So we have to know that Krishna is aloof from this material world, but at the same time, we have to understand that his energy has created it. Srila Prabhupada goes on to quote from Brahma Samhita. The first verse he quotes is, Eko pyaso rachayatam jagadanda kotim. So, the translation he gives to that verse is quite different from the translation by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which I find actually his Bhaktisiddhanta, I mean, of course, I'm sure Srila Prabhupada's translation is excellent, but I'm a little bit attached to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's translation. Just like I was very happy to hear Jayadev the other day give the full translation, because it's so poetic, those translations by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I'm going to find that verse and give you the translation to it in English. If I can. Okay, so. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Bit early. So, first of all, I'll read the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives. He says, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. By his partial plenary expansion as Mahavishnu, he enters into material nature. Then he enters every universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and he enters all the elements, including every atom of matter, as Shiradakshay Vishnu. Jai. Such manifestations of cosmic creation are innumerable, both in the universes and in the individual atoms. So, I don't know if you caught that, but he starts off with saying, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. But that is not in the in Bhaktisiddhanta's Saraswati Thakur's translation. He says, he is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. Completely different, it seems, on the surface anyway. In Prabhupada's translation, he says, He mentions Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu, which is not mentioned by Bhaktisiddhanta at all in here. And in actual fact, not really named in the original verse, the Sanskrit. The names are not there. But Prabhupada decided to put it in his translation within this purport. Bhaktisiddhanta says, all the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So, possibly Srila Prabhupada is thinking that the language of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very, very lofty. and perhaps difficult to understand. But actually, I found that if you really just meditate on it, it actually has great potency. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. So basically, he's just saying that there's no difference. Actually, there's no difference between Krishna and his energies. Everything is actually is Krishna, but Krishna, at the same time as being everything, he is aloof from it. He's separate. He's an individual. He's a person. Then it goes on to say, in his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. So the Lord's energy is never diminished in any way at all by his creation, even though he's creating millions of worlds. It's always he's always has his full potency, as he as said in the Sri Aishapanas, Om Purnam Adapurnam, that verse, that in his complete fullness, he's always full. And even if so many items are produced from him, he remains the complete at all times. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. So this seems to be a little bit of a contradiction to what he's saying, that Krishna is always aloof from this material world. Here he's saying all the universes exist in him, so every universe is within Krishna, but at the same time, he's in within every atom. That's inconceivable. That's why this philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is so important in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna is totally inconceivable. At the same time, all the universes are within him, and at the same time, he's within every single atom. So only Krishna, only God could be like that. And therefore, he says, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport to say, Govinda is partially exhibited as Antaryami, the supersoul. That is, he's within. Antaryami means he's the person within, who enters this material world, and Antarasta, and who is also within the atom. So, and then Srila Prabhupada goes on to quote another Brahma Samhita verse, which actually, if you read continuously the Bhagavatam, you'll find so many times does Srila Prabhupada quote the Brahma Samhita. It's so important. And also, the fact that we chant two verses of it every day in front of the deities. And in some places, actually, originally in the Chaupati temple, Radha Gopinath temple, they used to chant the whole of the, all the Govinda Madhi Purusham prayers of the Brahma Samhita every day. They used to do that. Because these prayers are so important. Now they, well, I don't know if they're still doing it on a Sunday. They then reduced it just to doing it on a Sunday. And sometimes pujaris, I don't know if every pujari does, but they will learn all the Govinda Madhi Purusham prayers, and as they're dressing, they'll chant those verses. I think in the manual for deity worship, it does suggest a few verses, but if you know them all, then you can chant them all. And it's very blissful as well as enlightening. So the other verse that he quotes from the Brahma Samhita in this is Yasyaika Nishvasita Kala Matava Lambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadandanataha Vishnu Mahansa Iha Yasya Kala Vishesho Govinda Madhi Purisham Tamaham Bhajami. And Prabhupada doesn't translate the verse. He just says this verse describes Mahavishnu as a plenary expansion of Krishna. Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, and when he exhales, millions of brahmandas or universes come from the pores of his body. But the translation to that by Bhaktisiddhanta is Brahma and the other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. And there's a very short purport to that. He just says, the supreme majesty of the subjective nature of Vishnu is shown here. So, of course, Krishna has appeared, but he's appeared with his supreme majesty. He's appeared with forearms, with beautiful flowing locks of hair. He's appeared with all his clothes and ornaments, with the Kastuba gem, Vaijayanti garland, everything he has, with his Gada, Chakra, Shankha, Padma, all his the items in his hands. So he's appeared with his supreme majesty, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says. But still, people sometimes think that Krishna is just an ordinary person. How can we possibly think that, actually, really? Therefore, Krishna says, Abhajananti mam mudha, fools, deride me when I descend in the human form. We must be very foolish. Actually, it's ignorance. So for many innocent people, it's just they don't know anything about Krishna. So Prabhupada continues on the theme, saying, foolish persons think that when Krishna appears as the son of Vasudeva, he is limited like an ordinary child. So therefore, Krishna actually showed his wonderful four-armed form to show that he's not an ordinary child. And then the final point in the purport Srila Prabhupada makes is about Vasudeva, his father. Because Vasudeva, although the Lord appeared as his son, he realized that the Lord had not entered Devaki's womb and then come out. And this seems to contradict what was said earlier that, you know, the Lord entered Vasudeva's mind, I believe. And then from there, he went to Devaki's heart, actually. And then, it never says, but then to his womb. But the reason why Srila Prabhupada says he realized that Vasudeva knew that the Lord had not entered Devaki's womb and then come out was because he's always there. The Lord is always everywhere. He's, like it said in this previous Brahma Samhita verse, he's within every atom. So he's always there. He's all-pervading, present within and without. And as this, the last line of this verse says, pravishta eva bhavyase, which means pravishta eva, you appear to have entered. Bhavyase, you are so understood. So he appears to enter, but actually he's always within every atom. He only seemed to enter the womb of Devaki and to have now appeared as Vasudeva's child. So Vasudeva, he understood this point. He knew what had actually really happened because he's a realized soul. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore we must learn from devotees like Vasudeva. And therefore, then he quotes the word tadvidhi pranipatena. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he's seen the truth. So this is the only way we can not be fools, mudhas, by actually gaining knowledge from a self-realized soul like Vasudeva. He's giving Vasudeva as the example of a tattvadarshi, a seer of the truth. And because he knew the truth, and a tattvadarshi knows the truth, then he can pass on that truth. He can reveal the spiritual world. He can reveal Krishna to us. So therefore, that is the one of the most important facts of Krishna consciousness. We must actually accept a spiritual master and receive knowledge. Serve that. Self-realized soul, that tattvadarshi, the person who's seen the truth. Inquire from him, serve him, inquire from him submissively. Then he will impart knowledge unto you. because he's seen the truth. So Vasudeva was not in ignorance, thinking that the Lord had become limited just because he's taken on what appears to be a human-like form. He's unlimitedly existing and all-pervading inside and out. Thus, there is no question of his appearance or disappearance. So we celebrate Krishna, Janmashtami. But actually, Krishna is always with us at every moment. But of course, we should celebrate Janmashtami, the appearance of the Lord, because that the such festivals are the mother of devotion. It said, I think, in what was it said? Maybe in the Bhakti, sorry. No, it's also actually it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we should celebrate Ekadashi, which we were observing yesterday. We should observe all these festivals, even though the Lord is always present, and he's all-pervading, inside and out, unlimitedly existing, still, we celebrate his appearance. And that's what this chapter is all about, the birth of Lord Krishna. And there's quite a lot of verses to go just on the birth of Lord Krishna. So I'll finish there. That was as much as we've got time for. Are there any comments or questions?